listen to the Jason Greger Show presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to gamesense.ab.ca. Lowdown, noon until 2. Alan Mitchell joins us. LT, how you doing?
I'm good. Those Halloween memories that you had. I remember when I was a kid growing up in rural Saskatchewan, 17 miles north of Maidstone. You know, you'd start trick-or-treating. You had to walk 12 miles to the next neighbor, you know. But, you know, sometimes they wouldn't be home. Now a little disappointed. But it's only 22 more miles to the other neighbor. It was quite a lot of fun.
Well, I remember, like, we rode horseback one year as a kid trick-or-treating. Like, my mom was on the horse and I was on the back, and that's how we went. It was unreal. Because you go through the neighbor's house pretty quick.
So people gave candy to you and then like an apple to the horse.
Yeah, well, trust me, I'll tell you right now, I don't ever recall getting an apple from farm people. They know better. You don't give apples. Like, trust me, we grow a lot of the stuff, but on Halloween day, it's for the kids, it's candy and chips.
These fancy farmers, LT, that had horses, right? That's ridiculous.
You know, I just feel like if, you know, if somebody shows up with a horse, you want to feed the horse a little bit, you know, just to spoil the animal.
Yeah,
know?
Well, usually my mom would save the horse at the top of the driveway, and I would just get off and run to the house. We only did it once. I do remember doing it one year with my
mom.
That's
pretty cool, actually.
Yeah,
cool.
It was fun. So, and it's funny, like, I grew up on a farm, but I was never like a big horse. Like, I didn't do gymkhana. My brother did that. I was just never. I tried herding on horseback once. Almost got decapitated. So had a little few choice words with the horse in the bush. And after that, I'm like, I think I'm better on my feet. So I could always ride a horse, but never necessarily great. My nephews still laugh about. We had like this pony that they got, and they're older, and they're all nervous to get on. I'm like, well, I'm not scared of any horse. I'm just get on the thing. Don't worry, it's not going to buck. And I jumped on it, kind of startled it. Buck once, twice. Here's Uncle Jay doing a backflip off the back end. And my nephews, and I kind of landed it, kind of, right? So, and you know, didn't want to scare him. I was just like, see, boys, look, it's not going to hurt. Right? But, oh, like, you know, my brother's trying not to fall over laughing. So that was.
Oh, that's funny stuff.
Extending my horse riding now. The orders are, they were getting bucked off at times through Simone. Self-mutilation. Evan Bouchard's struggles continue.
Yeah, it's, you know, and he's so talented. I'm a big fan of Evan Bouchard. And, you know, his floor and his ceiling are wide apart. And I think he might be struggling with the contract, honestly, because he's such a brilliant player, great puck mover. He's really struggled. And Nurse had the previous night, and people are still hammering Skinner. I'm like, you know, maybe, you know, the friendly fire was a big reason why they lost last night. But I still believe in Evan Bouchard. I'm not going to say I don't. But I do wonder here, you know, and I have no doubt he's been brilliant in the last two playoffs. I get it. I understand. But I do wonder here if maybe he's fighting it a little bit, trying to do too much under the weight of that contract. And that might be part of it. But, you know, I think this is the best defense they've had, guys, in years. Honestly, I do. And it'll turn around and get better. But the coaching staff's got to work towards, you know, and I didn't like the overtime goal. Leon missed, you know, he went for to try to intercept the pass, didn't work. But I really felt Bouchard needed to aggressively pursue Miller and make him make a play. Sure, if you pass it over perfectly, it's going to be a breakaway. But you're 3-on-3. That's man on man. You forced the play, and I felt like he was too passive there.
Yeah, well, he was too passive. Then Drysdale, even like Drysdale was closer than they both pulled away from Miller at the last minute, which I didn't I didn't understand. I agree. Well, really, I thought the game changed in the third period when the Oilers went on the power play and decided to give up two consecutive 2-on-1s because they just got outworked. And that really seemed, even though the Rangers didn't score there, that really seemed to give them life.
Yeah, and you know, like, the Rangers are not they're you know, they're not having a fantastic start, but they have talent on that team. Oh my. You know, they've got guys in their 30s who are maybe underperforming a little bit. They got a really good goaltender, so it's not like they lost to the Sisters of the Poor or anything, but it's a disappointing way to watch a point slide away.
Yes. No question about it. Would you make any lineup changes for tomorrow?
I don't know. I really like. Savoy had an issue today. Apparently, I don't know his situation. I like the group. 11-7. I'm not all, you know, a huge fan of, and I really would like to see Noah Philp in there. But I understand why they're, you know, kind of, you know, they want him on a penalty kill, face-offs. But I'd like to see Noah Philp in if they're going to make any move, and maybe run 12-6.
Oh, God, I think that's the move for sure. Like, no, you got to play Noah Philp. Like, I don't think Troy Stetcher has to play that much, you know, at this stage. And I get why they're playing 7 D-men, I think, at times. Like, I watch Jake Walman's not up to speed yet. I think that's clear. You watch it, like, when he was healthy, he was pulling away from guys. That one move of his, he would come short side of the net and gone. And his first few steps, he would explode away from guys. And I know he wasn't able to train how he wanted to in the offseason, dealing with that rehab and the injury and stuff. And then a little bit of a, you know, aggravated something else in training camp. So he's kind of playing catch up there. And I do watch him, like, he doesn't have his breakaway speed right now.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's, we're going to see the same thing with Hyman, I guarantee it. You know, we're all going to hope that Hyman comes back and hits the ground running, but, you know, it's been a while. And so these are the things that, you know, you invest the time in Walman because he's going to be there.
Yes.
When it's important. So these are things that you just accept if you're a team or a fan of a team. And you know, Walman has shown what he can do. My Lord, he's a wonderful player. But there are some pains and early on where you're kind of still in training camp a little bit. And I, you know, the guy who I thought has adjusted pretty well is Roslovic. He got signed, I think, on the 8th of October. And he's looking really good.
Yeah, he's getting better every game.
Yeah.
LT, what's your take on the Iceman over the last week?
I mean, you know what? I've said it before, and I'm just going to keep saying it because original thoughts don't occur to me very often. But I thought his worst games were the rookie games. After the rookie games, you know, people were on my blog and commenting on the show. They were saying, you know, man, this guy is years away. And I'm like, well, let's just let him show us what he is. And what he is a really smart player. He's making bounce passes off the boards. He's always in a good spot. He's an astute player. He's smart. He makes great plays. I love his two goals. This is a guy, I mean, I'm all in on the trade. I think they made a great trade, and I know they traded a right-handed center who's going to be a middle six center not too terribly long from now, but skill is so hard to find, and goal scorers are really hard to find, and this is a guy who's going to score goals.
He is. I'd still like to see, he's not playing enough for me. I'd still like to see him go down, and I think it's just a matter of when Zach Hyman comes back, they're going to send him down. Unless there's another injury, but I think his big term benefit is playing more minutes, and that'll help him. And maybe he comes back up later on, and it's not even a knock on him, Al. It's just more so like his minutes here in Edmonton aren't difference making minutes. So why not play him where he can play big minutes and develop his game? So then when he does come up, he could make impactful minutes.
Yeah, and I think that you're right. I mean, who knows, you know, with injuries and that sort of thing. I don't think he'll be down in the minors long because I think he's got that kind of talent. But he's got to make an impression. The Oilers have some, you know, they've got some veteran wingers. They could run three lines all year that don't include Ike Howard. And on the fourth line, as you say, he's not going to get enough minutes. Now, it's his job to force his way up the depth chart.
Yes, and the only negative going for him is he's taking a few too many reach-in tripping penalties.
Sure, and that happens when you're young.
Yeah,
you know.
No, definitely. Switching over, Al, to the World Series tonight. How will you handle your trick-or-treaters during World Series, Al?
Well, I have I've got several. I bought some extras because there are going to be times when I'm going to have just a bucket out there with a smiley face saying, please take two, but I know that when I'd walk 22 miles to a door, I would take two. So I've got some extra supplies. I will be answering the door, but at times when Vladdy's up with the bases loaded, I might abandon the door.
That would make sense. I understand it. It's a fine balance. I think I just might move my TV into the living area so I can answer the door but still see the TV at the same time.
See, that's a veteran move right there.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah. So it's not a regular move, Al, but it'll work for a one-timer for
there
sure.
You go.
So I kind of joked. I'm looking forward to what's your expectations tonight? How are they going to get to Yamamoto?
Well, before I say that, I love that you implied that you didn't have a TV in every room. Good veteran move there too, Gregor. You know, I mean, I'm sure you've got one in the bathroom. You've got TVs all over the place.
Yeah. No, you know what, Al? I don't never have a TV in the bathroom. Come on. No.
So anyway, I think that the early part of this game is going to be key. If Yamamoto settles in, then they're going to have to win this late, like, you know, 7, 8, 9. And you never know, but they, you know, they were one key hit away from doing some damage early against Yamamoto. And, you know, baseball's a weird sport. He's had two great starts in a row. And you know, I mean, I don't know what the odds are of having three, you know, complete games in a row, but they can't be high. So he may rest a little bit in this game. And it's important that the Jays' bats are on fire. And yeah. So it's important that if they – like, if they're first and second after, you know, and one out in the first, they've got to get a run. And you know, that's what the Expos had in 1981 in the Rick Monday game. And Andre Dawson hit a double play.
Yeah.
And then they only got one run out of that. You need to get that – you need to get something done in a big game like this. Because if they get up early, they could crush the Dodgers.
Oh, well, that would – you know, I'd like it to be later. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why. I just like a little bit of a late game. So that would be good.
18 innings, maybe?
No. Just like a late game, like 7th, 8th, like an 8th or 9th. That part would be good. So
yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a blast. Can't wait, man. Baseball in October is fantastic.
Yes. Oh, it is. It is like to get to Yamamoto is going to be hard, but I don't know. I just have a feeling tonight that the Jays, they've been a scrappy team all year long. They find ways to get, they've been the best hitting team in baseball. Like, let's call a spade a spade. They've had the most hits. They had the best average. They're the best hitting team in baseball. They've continued in the postseason now. And you got guys like Vladdy's playing great. Barger's been unreal. Like, you can make a legit case. Like, if you just look at their stats in the World Series, because it's different than the NHL. The NHL, the Conn Smythe is basically for the entire playoffs. The World Series MVP is only for the World Series.
Yeah.
And Yeah. And so if you look at the numbers, like, Barger's got the better numbers in those games, right? He's got the same amount of hits, but a higher average, higher OPP, higher slugging percentage, higher OPS. He's been unreal. And, man, it's going to be it'll be awesome. I can't wait to see what happens. I don't really care who wins the MVP, but, like, right now, to me, it's Barger or Guerrero for the Jays. And if the Dodgers come back and win, Yamamoto, depending on what he does tonight, will be one. Obviously, Otani. Because Otani's had the one big game, but really, like, you know, he hit that home run late when it was 11-2. But in the other two losses, like, Otani did nothing.
Yeah, and that's the problem. I mean, you know, Betts has been terrible.
The Dodgers
have had a lot of really high paid players not play well. Yamamoto has played well. I've liked Freddie Freeman's game, although he, you know, struck out twice against the Savage. The one thing I'll say about Barger is, you know, there are players who emerge in a season who end up having a substantial career afterwards, and they weren't at all famous beforehand. And I think Barger's that guy on the Jays. I think he's going to be a big-time player for them for years. I know he's a little older, but he's got it all. He's got a fairly complete game. He can hit. He's got a great arm, and he can do a lot of things. Barger has been extremely impressive to me, and I think he's going to be around for a long, long time. And I agree with you. I think he could win the MVP.
Yeah, for sure. Al, enjoy the game. Enjoy the weekend. We will chat with you on Monday.